they're there.
Oh, good. Oh, they're there.
Oh, great. Hello?
Who's that?
Okay, hello, this is Amy here with Kate on the NOR on the 21st of September, Friday, and on this phone call, there's going to be a bit of a delay, so when I speak, I won't hear your response for a while, and when you ask me a question, you won't hear me for a while. How do you hear me now? Pretty good?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Great. Well, why don't you let us know who's there? Who's on that end?
Dan, Gilbaugh.
I'm Mike
Brown.
Craig Morris.
Mike.
Lori, Terry White.
Sam Robson.
Who?
Pam or Tim?
Sam?
Yeah.
Okay. I missed the second to last one. Who was before Sam?
Lori, Terry White.
Okay.
Is Eliza there yet?
Is Kate is here. Is Eliza there? Or Min?
Yes, Min is here.
Great. Oh, Min is there. Great.
Hi, Min.
And Daniel Dinsner is back in school now, so he's going to say hi now.
Hi.
Okay. Hello, Daniel. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Min.
Well, great. I'm glad that you could all join us. I thought we would start by letting you know what we're up to here. It's beautiful weather here. It's probably about 65 degrees outside Fahrenheit. It's no wind whatsoever. It's perfectly sunny, and there are no waves at all. The ship is barely rolling at all. You would hardly know you were on a ship. It's so beautiful. And we are right now pretty much between Nova Scotia and Newfoundland. And we're still heading our way up into the Labrador Sea, where we're going to deploy the mooring. That's still a few days away. So we're still just chugging along here, going about 12 miles an hour. Not very fast. Did you catch all that well?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to let Kate tell you a little bit about what she's been doing. And then we'll answer your questions, okay?
Okay.
Here's Kate.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tony. Is it right after you went down the stairs?
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Thank you.
Nice to hear your voices. I have been learning about how to deploy the floats and practicing tying knots and learning to operate machinery, so it's been a very new experience for me.
Sounds cool.
Hello?
Hello?
Lost her.
Yes. Oh no, she's taking on water.
Man overboard. Well,
are you there?
Nope.
Can't hear anything.
I turned on a fan.
Oh, look, I feel air.
Hello?
There's a ghost in here, Roy.
Should we call back?
No, I think we should wait a little bit.
Maybe they can't hear us.
Oh, they can't hear us, but I can hear them.
Wait a few seconds.
Bye.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Hello. Oh, they're saying goodbye. They're going to sign off. Whoops. Oh, nope. Are you going to call back?
No, they shouldn't call back.
We can hear you now.
Yeah. You can't. I think it's us. We're going in and out of connection. Okay, who would like to ask the first question, Joe?
1 minute, Sam's going to check. He wrote all the questions down.
Okay.
Okay, Sam's looking up the questions.
Yes, yeah, my first question is Lori. Lori asked
the
question.
Okay, Lori's question. Is it for Amy?
How fast does the boat go?
How fast does the boat go?
Yes.
We said, right now it's 12 miles per hour. About as fast as you could run around the track.
Oh, dear God.
For a fast runner.
Not very fast.
It's going slowly.
Okay, I have a question that was not written down.
Who's this?
This is Min speaking.
Hi, Min.
Hi. I was wondering, have you seen any whales or sharks lately?
Oh, good question. Yesterday, the people working on the bridge, the captain and the other people on the bridge, saw pilot whales, sharks, and a seal.
Oh, a seal? Oh, what's awesome.
You basically went seal watching, right?
Right. I was working at the time. I did not see them, but the captain did.
Mike's question. Do you remember what it was, Mike? Your question?
Yeah. Is there any life, like human beings, living on the land by the Labrador Sea?
Oh, are there any people living on the land by the Labrador Sea?
Yeah.
Yes, there are.
They,
in fact,
the
yes.
Kind of life that we do? Like, you know, they have CDs, you know, the kind of stuff that we have today, like radio stations.
Ah, well, the people are native Inuit people, and they might have some technology, but they would not have the kind of technology that you have, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question, Mike.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Eliza's question.
Oh, well.
Oh, you didn't hear our problem, Eliza. We do not have a Secchi disc on board. We couldn't find one. So we're going to try another method to let you know that information when we get to the Labrador Sea.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that. There's other ways to measure that. Right. Right. Amy says you need to be innovative in science and find new ways. That's an old-fashioned way, anyway, to measure visibility. Who's next?
It's Lori. Hold on.
Maybe the next. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering, how will the self-deploy the floats by themselves?
Oh, okay. I'm going to give that question to Amy, is because it has to do with computers, and I will pass it over to her. Laurie's wondering how the floats will deploy themselves.
Right,
okay, here's Amy. Hi, everybody, again.
Hi.
Hi.
I'll try to answer the question about how the floats deploy themselves. When a warm eddy comes by the mooring, there's a thermometer on the mooring that will detect the warm water. And then the that thermometer is connected to a computer, and it would send a signal telling the computer that it's time to release a float. The computer then will send another signal to release the float, and it burns a little wire, a little tiny wire burns, which underwater you think of things burning, that doesn't sound right, but it you put an electrical current through a wire in salt water, and it dissolves the wire. So when that wire burns, then the latch holding the float will burst open, and the float will pop out of the rack.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, it really does. Did that answer the question you got?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Sam. Who's next?
Annie.
And what question?
Just
want me to remind you? You wanted to know about what the South itself had a computer and if it measured it.
Oh, yeah. So, South itself, do anything besides hold the float?
I'm going to repeat the question to make sure I understood it correctly. You're asking, does the SELP itself do anything except hold the floats?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. No, not really. It holds the floats. It also has this computer on it, which I told you about, which helps to detect when an eddy is coming by. But otherwise, the SELP is just holding the floats. That's it. There are other instruments on the mooring, though, on this line that stretches from the seafloor to near the surface that are measuring currents and temperature and salinity of the water at all different depths.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. I have a question, Amy. This is Min speaking.
Hi, Min.
Hi. I was wondering, are you allowed, if you were to have a guide dog, right, would you be allowed to bring it on the boat if you wanted to continue your study?
That's a good question. And actually, I haven't had a chance to tell you guys, but I am about to get a guide dog for the first time. Shortly after I get... Just cheering. Yeah, his name is Winslow. He's a German Shepherd.
Yay!
But you know, on the ship, I feel like the better mobility tool is really my cane, because for a few reasons, the boat rolls around a lot, and I think the dog would be pretty uncomfortable. The second reason is that because of the small spaces. And it's actually quite clear passageways from the places I need to go that my cane actually works very, very well. And since it's more portable than the dog, it's really the better tool for on this ship. But I would be, if I asked to bring the dog, I'm pretty sure I would be allowed to bring it.
But wouldn't you be able to bring it anyway if you had, the ID thing?
If I have an ID, can I bring it anywhere?
Yeah, I know, how some people have ID for, restaurants and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the law pretty much is when you have a guide dog that you can take the guide dog in any public place.
Okay. In a restaurant?
Yeah.
Anywhere,
basically,
on
the public buses, trains,
anything. Okay. Does anyone else, Sam, are there any more questions you have on your...
Yeah, one more from Dan.
Okay. Can you give us an idea of what it was?
The stuff comes back up again when it is done to hold all the
floats. Will the stuff come up again?
Oh, that?
Will the stuff come up again? When it deploys all the floats?
That's a great question, and the answer is yes, it will. After 2 years, the whole mooring is going to be in the water for 2 years, sitting there just waiting for eddies to come by. But after 2 years, hopefully all the floats will be emptied out of the racks, and then we will go back to this spot. We'll have to go back with a ship just like this and get the whole mooring back with the SELP and the temperature and salinity and current sensors as well.
Okay. Well, you're gonna pick them back up again, right?
Yep, we're gonna pick it up again. Now, I wonder if anyone can figure out how are we gonna get this giant piece of equipment back. The whole thing is underwater on a weight. How do you think we get it back?
I was wondering, would you tie a rope around it, like the anchor way, and just pull it up? Yeah.
Well, we could do something like that, except that the whole thing is actually way too heavy to pull up. So what we do is we send an acoustic signal down into the water, that's a sound signal, into the water, and there's a special mechanism way down near the bottom that listens for that signal. And when it hears the signal, it says, oh, it's time to break the wire. So it breaks the wire, and the whole mooring, which has floats, has glass balls on it to make it buoyant and stand up straight, all those, the whole thing drifts up to the surface and sits there. Now, we do that from the ship, and we're sitting right next to the mooring spot. We send the signal. All the mooring pieces float up to the surface, and then we go and pick them up with the ship. That's how we get it back.
When you put down a mooring for 2 years, do you know for sure that it's going to stay in the exact same location as you put it there 2 years beforehand?
Yeah, we do, because at the bottom of the mooring is a very, very heavy weight, something like 2,000 pounds. So it's really an anchor, and it keeps the mooring in the same place, can't move.
Boy, that's a lot of weight.
Anyone have any more questions?
I think I might have one.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, this is Danny Gilbo. Another question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Danny Gilbo. I have a question. And
yes?
How will you pick up the floats if they weigh that much after 2 years?
How will we pick up, right, how will we pick up all the mooring after 2 years if it weighs that much?
Yeah.
Well, we will, we actually send this sound signal down, and it cuts the wire, and which leaves the anchor behind on the seafloor. And the rest of the mooring gear all floats up to the surface. So we don't have to pick up that heavy anchor. That's a good question. The anchor stays behind forever.
Question. So, when that pollute some of the water, because the anchor is metal, and it'll end up rusting and corroding and turning into dust, and it will end up staying in the water.
Yep, that's a good point. It will do that. It will rust and corrode, and eventually, though, after many years, it'll dissolve. And it's made out of iron, and it will rust pretty quickly. But then it all breaks down into its original elements, which then just spread out in the water. And there's a lot of iron in the water anyway, and this anchor is actually very, very, very small volume compared to the whole ocean, so you wouldn't even notice it after a while.
Oh, because I thought if that much iron was put into the water and rusted and corroded and went back into basically dust or...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, you're right. It will dissolve completely, but the amount of material is so small compared to the size of the ocean that it won't even be noticeable. Like if you take a bathtub full of water and you put a few grains of sugar in the bottom and you stir it up and dissolve the sugar, would the water taste sweet?
No.
Probably not, because, no, because there's so much water and so little sugar. Well, it's the same idea in this case. The ocean is huge, and this little anchor is minuscule by comparison.
I have another question.
A couple more, and then we're going to wrap up, okay?
This is Min again.
Okay, what's up?
When you go out to get the mooring and stuff, how do you position your boat? Like, do you have to have it right, you mark the place where it used to be?
Oh, that's a good question. Like, how would we know where the mooring is when we come back? Well, that, when we put the mooring in the water, we mark down in our notebooks the latitude and longitude, exactly where we put it. And we use the global positioning system, the GPS system, which gives us our exact latitude and longitude where we put it in. So when we have to come back, we just go to that exact same latitude and longitude, and we know that it's down there underwater. Even though we can't see it, we know that it's there.
Amy, it's Joe Bain. It's Kate's substitute. I have a couple of questions.
Okay, would you like to talk to Kate or me?
No, you.
Okay.
In my head, I'm thinking about a model for the mooring, somehow to demonstrate.
Oh, yeah.
Does the mooring actually hold?
Yep.
The south, or is the south floating mid, in the middle of the ocean on its own? Or is it being held down by the mooring?
It is attached to the mooring line. You know what I'll do? I'll send you a diagram. How would that help?
That would be good.
Yeah, a diagram of the whole mooring that shows all the different pieces. It's a technical drawing, but I think you'll get the idea.
Okay. And the next question was from the chemistry class you talked to. They want to know if your story about the jelly beans and measuring the water with jelly beans was true or not, or was it a joke?
Oh, good question. Well, it's not a joke. We're not sure it will work. We'll have to try it. But we intend to try it because we have a lot of jelly beans.
What's the story?
The chemistry class wanted to know if it was a joke.
No.
What's the story? Well, the story is, as Kate just said, we forgot the Secchi disc, and we didn't forget it. We couldn't find one, actually. So we're trying to think of another way that we could measure the visibility through the water. And one way we thought was to drop colored jelly beans in the water and see how long we could see them for.
Wow.
We'll find out.
So you have to, you have to be creative when you are out on a boat like this, because there's no hardware store to go and get a Secchi disc.
Well, I don't think a hardware store would have it.
All right.
I think you're right. Good point. Hardware store won't have a Secchi disc.
one more question and then we'll say goodbye, okay?
Okay, how about one more question, and then I'll give you over to Kate so she can say goodbye also.
Okay.
Amy?
Eliza, do you have a question? Okay, it's
yes?
Eliza.
Amy?
Eliza, hi. Hi.
Have you seen any fish? And if you have seen any fish, what types of fish have you seen in the Labrador Sea?
We haven't seen any fish yet. Some other people, I haven't seen any marine life yet myself, but the captain has seen some sharks and some pilot whales, which are small whales, and a seal. But we haven't seen any fish. Sometimes some people on the boat might do some fishing, and if they catch anything, I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to say goodbye, and then I'm going to give the phone to Kate so she can say goodbye also.
Okay.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah,
bye.
Bye.
You bet. Bye. Bye-bye.
Here's Kate.
Oh, thank you.
Here's Kate.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Goodbye. I wanted to, did you have another question?
No, I said...
One last question?
I was going to say, come back for the camping weekend.
Oh, I wish I could come back for the camping weekend. Have a good time. I left the tent for the camping trip in my classroom, so I'm sure Joe will give it to Tim, the person in charge of the camping trip.
Yeah.
I also wanted to let the people who are listening to us know that you're an introductory physics class, and that many of you are in different grades. Some of you are 9th, 10th, or 11th graders. But it's an introductory physics class. And we're going to be talking to another class on Monday, a different class, my health class and Michelle's Braille class and some people in Kristen Broughton's math class. We'll be talking to all of you again around 11:15 on Tuesday, September 25th is the next time that I will talk with you and also students from Marilyn Walpole's math class. I hope all of you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you,
Jane. And we'll look forward to... Thank you. Look, thanks. Hi to Michelle. I haven't heard Michelle's voice. Hi, is Michelle there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Hi. Oh, good. Nice to hear your voice. And I wanted to make sure everybody listening knew that the teachers were Joe Bain and Michelle Engelbrecht. And have a great weekend. Goodbye to all.